off this morning just to share with you for a few moments with the definition. It's the word serve. I was looking up that word online and just checking out a few different dictionaries, and this is what I came up with. The word serve means to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. Be of service to, be of use to, help, assist, aid, make a contribution to, do one's bit for, do something for, benefit. The word serve. Well, there's another meaning too, which kind of touches home a bit here. Present food or drink to someone. You know, we will present to you afterwards in the market there out there. Present food or drink to someone. Distribute, present, provide, supply, serve the hot soup as an example. And so I want to ask you this morning, looking at this, and you know there may be some other words that we've left out. I want you to do something for me this morning, if you're able to. Would you please stand up if you've ever served in your life? And I don't believe that any of you would be sitting. I saw you serving this morning, sir. So if you're sitting, other than because you're working on the projection or sound, then you're on. Margaret, I see you sitting, but you know, I know you could be standing. There you go. Okay, nobody's sitting, are they? Because I don't believe, unless you just can't stand, because I don't believe that anybody in this room, according to that definition, has never served or done their bit or contributed to. Okay, so stay up, stay up, stay up, stay up. I didn't mean like stay boy, I just meant stay up. Would you remain standing if you've ever served in any capacity here at Pioneer Park Church? If you've ever served in any capacity here at Pioneer Park Church, remain standing. Otherwise, feel free to be seated. Shut up. Wow, look at you. Take a look around. All these people have served. Oscar, I just met you this morning, but you already served, so that's why you're still standing. He was cleaning tables out back there for me. I went to clean some junk off a table. I just met the guy. I can do that. Into the bathroom, get it, clean the table up. You are serving. Okay, don't sit down yet. Would you remain standing if you are currently serving, even if it's once in a while here at Pioneer Park Church? Remain standing if you're serving, even if it's once in a while here at Pioneer Park Church. Now, some of you are sitting down that shouldn't be, okay? Even once in a while. And I'm going to point you out. Don, I see you serving at the back. Okay, yeah, don't you be sitting down. See, I'm actually watching, okay? I'm not just pretending here and playing games. I feel like, have any of you ever helped put tables away at the potluck? Chuck, I think you actually have helped do that at times, right? So you're sitting with a baby, I get it. Yeah, okay, all right. Just take a look around, okay? All right, now I'm going to release you. Thank you. Please sit. How long is he going to go on, they ask. Do you know what Jesus said about himself? In Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man," that was himself, Jesus, "came not to be, but to others." Came not to be served, but to serve others. I thought you guys were doing like really good on your own. And I'm like, wow, how do they? I'm like, oh, okay, right. Do you know what the Bible says about Christ followers? 2 Corinthians 3:18, I know you know. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. If he came to serve and we are to be like him, then serving is to be like Jesus. And so I say to you this morning, keep being like Jesus. Keep being like Jesus. All the more as you are able, be like Jesus. Well, last week we began considering the idea of the absurd idea of an uncluttered Christmas, whether that was even possible. Last week we talked about, if you weren't here, it's okay, we talked about Swedish death cleaning. Do y'all remember that? I think only one or two people had ever heard of it before in here. We talked about making room at this Christmas time, about prioritizing what's important to God in the area particularly of relationships we looked at last week. And we talked about the priority of our personal relationship with God and with our family and friends and then our relationships with others, those in need. And we said, while Christmas should be a time of joy and celebration, it's often a source of stress. Between decorating and shopping and cooking and party planning and party attending and kids programs and family visits and a million other things, the Christmas season can blow through our lives like a wind that leaves us exhausted. And it's not just the Christmas season itself, it's the season on top of all the things that already occupy and clamor for our time and attention. So is it possible? How could we possibly move beyond all the clutter, and maybe for some actually, or for some continue, to enjoy the true beauty and meaning of Christmas? And today, perhaps you've already mastered this, and you say, oh, I've got this down already. Well, that's great. I really am happy for you. But as we think about it for a few moments today, I think the secret to an uncluttered Christmas, if you will, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, is to make room for what God says really matters. And as you prioritize your Christmas schedule, or holiday schedule, which extends beyond just Christmas, it makes sense to ensure that your priorities line up with Jesus, the one whom we're celebrating. And as you look at his life, you discover very quickly that humbly serving was near the top of his list of priorities. And so if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be made more into his image, to be more like him, then I think that not only at this Christmas time, but perhaps through the year, we need to make room for serving. And way to go. Way to go. You know what? There's something I forgot to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I wonder currently how many of you are serving outside of here, in your community, in your different places. I bet you a whole bunch of folks would be standing for that. And I just cheer you on and say, way to go. Don't stop. You are what makes the world carry on. You are what makes things happen by volunteering, by serving. You know, there are some really impactful ways that Christians have served in our world. Through the years, Christians have always had a heart for the least privileged members of society, one sector of which are orphans. Interestingly, Jesus was born to a single mom, Mary, and adopted by Joseph. And the Bible talks about salvation in terms of adoption, as believers were adopted into God's family. And for centuries, Christians have built orphanages and provided for those without a mom and a dad. Even today, many Christians move to difficult parts of the world to help this vulnerable group. And several of you probably have a sponsor child in another country. Pioneer Park Church, I believe, currently has 4 children that we collectively sponsor, man, I always get this wrong, through the Faraha Children's Home in, I want to say Haiti. Is that, no, in where? And I heard some of those different, okay. Wow, thank you for helping me on that. I had 1 like out of 4. That's bad. So we collectively sponsor kids and do that, and I know that you do that on an individual basis too. James 1:27 says, pure and genuine, there's that word religion, in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. Christians have always valued education. Many of the great works of Western literature were passed down to us through Christian channels. I don't mean TV, I mean people. Advancements in education have been made by Christians. Sometimes one of the main ones it referred to is way back in the printing press that was invented by Johann Gutenberg, and many of the first universities were Christian universities. A story a little bit closer to home, but not really, is that of Kim Cook. If you're familiar with Kim, who we know she's a missionary in Guyana with Youth with a Mission, they've had successful efforts in building a school in a remote community on a mountain in Guyana, a village called Imbimadai. And that's been an effort that they've really been working on and done, and has really just been an absolute blessing. And so, you know, Christians have gone into those places and missionaries and begun schools. And I know we can tell those stories all over the place of that kind of thing. Christians were some of the first to build hospitals in the Roman Empire and then throughout the Western world. And even today, Christians are often the first to bring hospitals and quality medical care to developing world. Christians like Elizabeth Fry worked tirelessly to bring reform to the prison system. Chuck Colson is another person who many will know who was involved in prison ministry, as many continue to do so even today. Jesus was known for his care for the poor. From the beginning of the Christian church, Christians have understood their role to help those in need. Way back in Rome, Christians were known for their efforts in helping the poor. And throughout the ages, Christians have put together societies and missions for those on the margins of society. Some of the great institutions to help the poor that still exist today were started by Christ followers. And these are just a few of the many examples of how believers have served in various areas in our world in the past and continue to do so today. You know, we're so familiar with the Christmas scene set with a manger and farm animals that we can forget how unusual it was that this is the context into which Jesus was to be born. I mean, if anybody could have come as a mighty king in great robes, it would have been him. He could have come as that, and he could have lived in a palace and demanded obedient submission. Instead, he came to a lowly manger. I mean, he didn't even get the inn. Like, you think he could have planned it so he got the inn, but he didn't even get that. He got the barn, the manger. And he came not to demand submission, but to offer salvation. Each one of us. When the angel first appeared to Joseph, he made this very clear. He said, "And she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus," which means the Lord saves. "For he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet from long ago that said, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Jesus came to be with us, to serve physically and to save spiritually from our sin. And like Jesus, our serving can start in very practical ways, very even small and practical ways. We make room for serving immediate needs. Through his life, Jesus got his hands dirty, reading of how he healed people, and sometimes he'd spit in the dirt and make mud and did all kinds of things that'd be going like, really? How come he just didn't say it? Well, there are things around that you can study. But he got his hands dirty helping people in very practical ways. And we read how he regularly healed people. He fed people. He encouraged people. He comforted people. And so if we want to follow the example of Jesus, we look for practical opportunities maybe to meet people's immediate needs. And maybe it's simply, and I know you know this, maybe it's simply reaching out to someone in your circle of influence. Maybe it's reaching out to somebody in your neighborhood who could use a hand or an encouraging word. It's interesting because God has always asked his people to provide for and serve the poor. He has always asked his people to do that. He wasn't just making a suggestion or even a request. Or something God's people did if they felt like it. God actually commanded his people, commanded Christ followers to feed the poor, often in very specific ways. Here's one, Leviticus, way back in an Old Testament book, Leviticus 19, 9 to 10. I really like this. This is great. He said, God said to the minister, "When you harvest the crops of your land,
Do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. Practice was called gleaning. This was God's practical way for the Israelites to provide food for the poor. Our food cupboard program kind of operates on a principle like that, if you will. We don't like dropping on the ground for people to pick up or anything like that, but we receive the extras or sometimes the leftovers or the donations or the over and above, and folks can come and pick that up. And you wouldn't believe, like, especially lately, just people who are stopping at the door and just dropping stuff off and bringing food. And I mean, somebody called this morning and brought a bin of clothes in just as our service was beginning this morning, and that's downstairs for folks. I thought, Willie, of the Gleaners, that organization that you and others have been part of, who take those leftovers and they turn them into to food and packets and things that can be shipped all over the world that make an incredible difference. I mean, they've got the name Gleaners. It's what we're talking about here. They serve in that way. And you know what, though? Here's the thing. Wishful thinking and good thoughts aren't enough. Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. Wishful thinking and good thoughts aren't enough. And I get challenged when I read something like this out of James chapter 2 in the New Testament. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, okay, goodbye, and have a good day. Stay warm, eat well, be blessed. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? I don't think there's any way to interpret it differently. I think it's pretty clear. In other words, don't just send people good thoughts, or don't just push the like button when you can actually do something about it, when you can do something to help. We can't always, but when we can, God says that's our responsibility to do. You see, God's call to each one of us is to put our faith and love into action and to do something. And please don't, I hope you're not here this morning saying, well, I do. I mean, this isn't for me. I do. If you do, that's awesome. What a great reminder. And I just want to continue to encourage you in that. But God's call to each of us is to put our faith and love into action and to do something. What we can, where we can, and how we can. And that's different for all of us. And it's not just so we can go, good job. It's not just to pat ourselves on the back and feel good about ourselves. Well, it's not that at all. When we serve, it honors God. When we serve, it honors God. And here's something else to keep in mind. As you serve, remember that while meeting immediate needs is part of demonstrating Christ's love, it's not the end of the story. You see, when Jesus served, it was always with the purpose of creating an opportunity to serve their far more important needs, their spiritual needs. And so I would say, where we can, we need to make room for serving ultimate needs. You see, Jesus understood that our deepest need isn't simply physical, rather it's spiritual. And he healed and fed people, but knew that if he didn't ultimately provide spiritual healing, they might live a while longer, but would ultimately face an eternity apart from God. And so he regularly took the opportunity to move from addressing the physical concerns to addressing the spiritual ones. And while I think we should be intentional about serving the immediate physical needs around us, we should also be intentional about seeing if there are ways that we can point people to Jesus. I don't believe at all in shoving stuff down people's throats, but I believe that we can point people to Jesus, their ultimate hope. And so this Christmas season, remember that Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't choose to meet our needs from a safe place or a comfortable distance, but he chose to walk right alongside us. And he still does that by his Spirit. And so just let me encourage you. Look for opportunities to serve folks. Be grateful for the opportunities that you have to serve as you're doing that now. But maybe there are other places. Maybe it's just a one-time thing that happens. Look for opportunities to serve folks in their immediate needs. But may I encourage you to also, and I know this is tough sometimes, to also watch for opportunities to maybe serve a spiritual need by pointing them to God. You see, at the heart of his character is love and grace. And a serving attitude, I'm just telling you, from what I read in God's word, a serving attitude is not optional for a Christ follower. A serving attitude isn't optional for a Christ follower. It's at the heart of how God wants us to be. And so let's not just try and live this way during the Christmas season. Let's make room in our lives to serve others and continue to do that all year round. Let's pray. Father, your word gets in our face sometimes. It moves us from places and spaces where we might be to amazing places. Father, I thank you, and my heart rejoices in how many have been involved in serving. And Father, how many here and how many in our community and outside of this place. And Father, we just rejoice in that. That's how you've called us to be. It's part of how you've called us to be. And so I pray that you'd stir within our hearts and continue to stir, continue to grow that attitude of serving. And Father, I pray that we would look for ways to not, that we would look for and be aware of opportunities to not only serve immediate physical needs, but Father, that we might point others to you. Because it's only through you that we have that ultimate hope that our true and spiritual needs can be met. So we thank you this morning, give you praise, and we ask for your help in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.